We'll be in Proverbs chapter 31 this afternoon. And as we looked at the first part of the chapter this morning, verses 1 through 9, this afternoon we want to look at the last part of the chapter, having to do with the portrait of the virtuous woman, or virtuous wife. Given typically the same title to the message as is in the text, except that I've called it a song of the woman of moral strength. Kind of like a song because it kind of tells a story about her. And a song often tells a story as it relates to a particular subject, only is put in the form of some kind of poetry. And as proverbs are pithy little sayings, this particular part of the Word of God, as it relates to this woman of strength, this woman of moral integrity, tells a story about a woman who not only loves her husband, but loves her children, and of her particular character as she goes about fulfilling those certain requirements of the home and of the family. Well, we know that even the modern day family has all kinds of different requirements that people have to fulfill. The role of the woman in the home today may be slightly different than it is in Old Testament Proverbs time. That is relating to the Old Testament and the people who dwelt in that culture. But yet we find that there are many things that have to do with family that remain the same. Families have to be fed and cared for. They have to have clothing. They have to have shelter. They have to have food on the table. There is a sense of companionship between the spouses, between the husband and the wife. There is a sense of instruction and carrying out certain duties and responsibilities. And culturally, these things might be somewhat different. We don't live in typically an agrarian culture, as the Old Testament it depicts here. Yet we find that there is much industry within the home, and that the wife is involved in much of that industry. And we find that a woman of moral strength or moral character is a woman who does well by her household. For she loves the Lord and cares for her family. And so we want to begin by reading verses 10 through the end of the chapter, and then we'll come back and comment to the chapter. Verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Well, it isn't that we're looking so much at a situation where this is a perfect wife, as it is that she is an appreciated wife, and she's an appreciated husband, a mother. That is, her husband appreciates her. And so that's why she is so praiseworthy, is because the husband appreciates all that she does, and he takes particular notice of what she does, and knowing that she is very diligent in her care and her duties in the home, and for her family, and even outside her family, then he praises her most adequately for this. I'd just like to say at the outset that I think any husband who really appreciates her, his wife, will in fact have these kinds of words to say about her. If she is truly a godly and moral woman of strength, then the husband will appreciate the wife. And it also indicates to us that this particular wife is one that is of the Lord and is so blessed also of God. Four areas I'd like to look to. First of all, in verses 10 through 14, she is hard to find. It's difficult to find such a woman. That is, in the sense that she is prized and she is appreciated and she is sought after. And so in that sense, we find that she is hard to find. She is diligently caring for her family. In other words, she not only cares for her family, but she does it with a great deal of duty and a desire to please her family and to make sure her family's needs are met. Verses 15 to 20. Verses 21 to 27, she is charitable, indicating that she not only cares for her own family, that she isn't selfish in the things that she has, she is rather generous in the things that she is able to produce and to do. And that is also in keeping with a woman who is a godly woman. And then fourthly, verses 28 to 30, she is praised and blessed of her family. Well, any woman who is truly a woman of God and a mother who loves her family and is loved of her husband will also be blessed by them and truly blessed of the Lord. So we look at this passage here, and this exquisite picture, if you will, of a truly lovely wife is conceived and drawn up in accordance with the customs of the Eastern nations. That is, in the particular part of the world and culture of which this woman is represented to be, she is the epitome of that kind of woman that the husband sought after. What husband would want a wife who would tear down the home rather than build it up, for instance? What husband would want a wife that he would not be proud of and not praise up, but rather would love to praise up? And what husband would not want a wife that is truly a wife that is not only respected, but respects him as well? In other words, we often look for that other part of us that will complement us in every way. Husbands look for wives that will complement them. And we have that ideal sense of what we want a wife to be. And also vice versa. The wife has an ideal sense of what she wants a husband to be. Not only a caretaker or a provider for the home, but one who is loving and generous and loves the kids and wants to be around the children and nourish the children in those things that a father might do, etc. And so it is not unheard of that a wife should want a ideal husband or a husband should want an ideal wife. In other words, these are things that are looked for. These are things that are appreciated. And that kind of woman is being extolled here in this passage. In the Hebrew, the verse begins with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order. In other words, each one of these verses from from verse 10 to the end begins with a Hebrew letter of the alphabet in order, and that's significant to the order of the arrangement, and so shows the particular nature of the inspiration of God to accentuate these particular qualities in a virtuous woman of wisdom, of merit, and strength. And so the question implies that such are rare. That is, this kind of woman is rare, though not entirely wanting. That is, there are these kind of women. And it also implies to us that virtually or literally she is a woman of strength, that is, of moral courage. And I think it's easy to recognize this kind of person because they stand out in the crowd as someone who loves the Lord, someone who loves her family, someone who loves her children, someone who wants to be engaged in those kinds of things that make her family better, and that she is not in competition with her husband, she is in union with her husband. And so everything she does is to help her family rather than to in some way undermine anything that is going on in the family. And so she is hard to find in that sense, but yet she can be found. You see, she can be found. Perhaps in today's society we would say, well, one ought to be in prayer concerning finding a wife. One ought to be in prayer concerning finding the right spouse, because you want to get the right helpmeet. You want to know that the person that you're going to marry or be with for the rest of your life is truly that kind of a person that God could glorify through the husband. The husband can glorify his wife in this, can praise her in this, can bless her in these things. And you may have somebody in mind that has been married for a number of years. Well, we think of June and Eric, for instance. They're going to have their 50th wedding anniversary. Well, they must be pretty compatible at this point. We must realize that God probably did really orchestrate their coming together in their marriage. And perhaps I'm sure you can say that about your own marriage, that the person you married, you believe God wanted you to be with. And I think it's that kind of thing that we're talking about. The person we want to marry or the person we want to be with is the person we want God. We have to have that sense. Well, God has put us together. God has brought us together in this relationship. I know my wife's aunt and uncle, they've been married 68 years, I think this year. 68 years. And they're both around 90, getting in that direction. And they seem to be kind of right in sync. You know, everything they do is, they have a whole bunch of kids that come to the house all the time, and they're constantly cooking and doing things for the kids, and the kids are around all the time, and the grandchildren, and they do everything together, and they plant the gardens together, they do wood together, they pick berries together. It's everything they do together, and you see someone like that, and you say, well, they're pretty well, they are really brought together by God somehow here, and they really represent a couple that the longevity of their life really shows that they are of good moral character. And they are a couple of good moral character. There's no question about that. They are. We've known them, my wife has known them, of course, all her adult life, and I've known them quite a long time. In fact, Judy's uncle was best friends of my father when he was growing up in town. And then when I went to school, I became good friends and was a buddy of one of the sons of Judy's uncle. And so it's kind of like we kind of gravitated toward one another. I don't know why, but God just did that. We became very close friends. And when you see these kinds of things happen, you say, well, the Lord is in these kind of relationships, especially when God brings two people together as husband and wife for many, many, many years. and they've proven themselves to be a strong family in that relationship. Well, I think that's what people really want. And maybe that's why some people have such a hard time finding it, and they keep trying to find a good relationship, and they fail at it. And there may be other reasons behind that, which we don't have time to go into, but my illustration is just to say this, that a husband longs for a wife that really epitomizes that kind of desire that he has for a woman of excellence. And she's there. She is there. It just takes time to find that person. And of course, here in the book of Proverbs, this woman is extolled as that kind of a woman. Why? Because that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God holds up the best ideal of those things that we desire. And as God holds them up for us, He gives us a picture of those things that can be and that should be in the home. Not that they always are, but they can be and they should be. And what does it cause us to do? But it causes us to strive toward them, to look for them, to desire them, and in some way to fulfill them as well. Because we want to fulfill the very best that God has for us. And so she is a virtuous woman of moral strength and character. And so it is that God continues this great work in that woman and in that family that is given over to this sense of that ideal. She is hard to find, but yet she is findable. And we find in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness." Or as decay in the bones. And so, you know, the opposite true. If you don't find a woman who really complements your family, then it becomes like a decay in the bones, he says. Proverbs 18:22, "Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." There is a sense also that God has blessed you if you can find such a spouse. Proverbs 19:14, "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." And so in this sense, though houses and riches are the inheritance from fathers to sons, we find that a prudent wife, a wise wife, a godly wife is an inheritance from the Lord. That's where the inheritance comes from, to have that kind of wife. It is from God. God blesses the home with that. And so it is that she is virtuous, she is moral, she is of strength of character. And if we should take an example, we might look at the book of Ruth in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, where it says, "And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another, and he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also, he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city." Well, the illustration then is in the book of Ruth is Ruth and how she gravitates toward Boaz. And as she does, she begins to be favored of the Lord in this. God shows Boaz that Ruth is a virtuous woman. That is, she is a woman of moral strength and character. She laid at his feet, showing that she herself was in favor to be the wife of Boaz, or to receive from Boaz whatever the Lord might give. And as it would turn out, of course, we find that Boaz would in turn take her later as a wife through the provision of God. And that union would bring forth a blessing from God, and that blessing would lead even to the Messiah. And how great the blessing it is when we are in the place where God wants us to be. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Verse 11, look at chapter 31 and verse 11. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." And going back again to Ruth, Ruth is blessed of Boaz, for he found a virtuous woman of moral strength. Again, in the book of Ruth, he says, I am thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. She had already drawn part of the mantle over her, and she asked him now to do it, that the act might become his own. To spread a skirt over one is, in the East, a symbolic action denoted protection. And so by Boaz spreading the skirt over Ruth, his garment over Ruth, it was to say, I will protect you. So as much as Ruth wanted to be in the favor of God, she extended her desire. But we find, what does Boaz do? He extends his protection over her, as if one is looking to take her as a wife. To this day, in many parts of the East, to say of anyone that he puts his skirt over a woman is synonymous with saying that he married her, and that all the marriages of the modern Jews and Hindus, one part of the ceremony is for the bridegroom to put a silken or cotton cloak around his bride, indicating this protection over her, which is quite interesting. Also, we find that Boaz says, bring the veil that thou hast put upon thee, and hold it. The eastern veils are a large sheet, those of ladies being red silk, but of the poorer or common class of women wear them in blue or blue and white stripes, and of some kind of linen or cotton. They are wrapped around the head so as to conceal the face except for one eye. So they wrap them right around them except for one part of the face. And so they veil themselves almost completely. In other words, she has veiled herself in that sense that she might be another's. She's under the protecting care of another. And so we recognize God, when God brings two people together, he brings them together that they might be, one might be under the protecting care of the other. Certainly for the husband, he feels as though he is protecting his wife. He is somehow providing for her. He has given himself in duty to her. And for the wife, what is she doing? She is seeking to fulfill that favor of protecting grace by caring for her husband, by meeting the needs of the home, taking care of the children, even doing certain kinds of industry which are laid before the wife that she might be able to do them. And so this is interesting. She is diligently caring for her family, verses 15 through 20. So as we read on here, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her handmaids. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. So we find that she just puts herself into the work of the family in such a degree that she becomes an integral part of fulfilling the care and protection of the family, doing her part. And so her duties at home are very wide range and industrious to meet her family's needs. And we often hear this from women who are involved in the home, that a man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done, that kind of adage. It comes out of this sense that the woman's work is so industrious and so wide and varied that she has much more within her scope of doing than typically or traditionally the husband. The husband works from sun to sun. He goes out, he does a job, he fulfills his requirement, he brings home the paycheck, etc. But the wife who stays home and cares for her family, why, it's like she's wearing a variety of hats, and her industry is so wide and varied that her work is never done. It always goes on from day to day. It just keeps perpetuating itself over and over. And maybe you women have thought, well, the laundry basket never seems to get empty. Or the dishpan never gets empty. Or there's always another child to take care of. Or I've always got more clothes to mend, or more sheets to iron, or gardening to do, or you know, just on and on. You may say of those kinds of duties. So we find that her work is varied. She is always on the outlook. It says in verses 13 to 15 for woolen flax. She enjoys converting them into cloth. On her shopping trip, she is like the merchant ship that returns to the port laden with goods for the household. And, you know, Judy says that sometimes. She'll say, well, the merchant ship, she goeth afar today. I've got to go do some shopping. And she'll tell about all the different kinds of things that she does. So we often pick up on these various things which we're involved in and expound upon them because they are a part of our lives. So she goes to the supermarket. She loads up her supermarket shopping cart with all kinds of things that she might come home and fulfill her part in the family. And so she rises very early, perhaps maybe you traditionally get up at 5 in the morning. And maybe when you had little ones at home, you might even get up earlier. And I think I heard the pastor from the Hilltop Church, Ken Beretta, he was said something the other day when we was talking. He says, my wife said something about getting up at 2 o'clock to feed the children, but I didn't hear a thing. They got two little babies. Maybe they got more than that now. I don't know. But there's one that's recent that they've gotten. And he said his wife got up at 2 o'clock. And he didn't hear a thing. He said, I didn't know a thing about it. But that is typical of the household that is busy to this proportion. So the portion she gives to her maid servants may include not only their breakfast, but their working assignments as well. As it says here, well, that's a different culture, isn't it? We don't have maidservants in the homes. But understanding the Eastern culture at that time, there were many who worked in the homes who were supported through the home. And maidservants was a part of that, as you remember within the Old Testament economy. Secondly, she is an economist making her resources serve her family's needs. We talk about the economy today. Well, the economy is so bad. You know, it seems like gas keeps going up $2.65. Next week it'll be $2.75. The week after that, $2.85. And, you know, we talk about the economy. Then we talk about the grocery bill and how the grocery bill keeps going up all the time. And we may, when it comes fall, we'll talk about the electric bill and how, what's this surcharge on here? It costs us $65 to get the electricity delivered to my home. And the actual amount I used was $75. Oh dear. And what is that? Well, we often find these kinds of things going on, don't we, in the home, and it is a stretch on the economy. But the wife becomes an economist many times because she has to in order to take care of the needs of the family and to raise her children. The Christian enterprise of goodwill in and out of the home. And that's the next thing that we see here as we look at verse 20. It says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Well, we know that the whole idea of being charitable is not something restricted just to the Old Testament, though that was an integral part of the Old Testament economy, was to help neighbors and to help someone in need. We find in Romans chapter 12, verses 7 through 13, it says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And then verse 13 says this, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Now in the area of ministry, even in the New Testament Christian is to distribute to the necessity of the saints to be given to hospitality. And so we often find ourselves in a place where it is needful for us to keep a banana bread on file. So if somebody stops by, you can just say, well, would you like to have a cup of coffee with me? And we'll cut the banana bread and get the old coffee pot going, or the teapot, or a cup of lemonade or something, and we enjoy a little hospitality together. Or perhaps to distribute to the necessity of the saints, you find that someone in the church or someone down the street who you know in the Lord needs some help, and so you drop by with some kind of a little refreshment to leave for them, or maybe some clothing or something for the children, some kind of thing that to fulfill some little need that you believe would be appropriate to the occasion, and you distribute to the necessity of the saints. And this is part of what we are referring to here, of a mother who loves her children, who cares for her family, who cares for her husband, who seeks to fulfill all those duties and requirements. And these are, sometimes we look at this passage and we say, well, this is the woman beyond all womans. I could never measure up to this woman. But I think we should drop this back to a woman like yourself. Just doing the things that you normally do and recognizing that these are the things God really favors us in. Fulfilling the requirements of the home and for our family. That is the very thing that we're talking about. We're not talking about the woman who is a superwoman here. We're talking about the woman who is simply fulfilling the obligations of her family. In Proverbs 31:16, she seeketh a field and getteth possession of it. Of the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard, the field which she considereth towards which her wish and her effort are directed is perhaps not one beyond those which she already possesses, but one that has hitherto been wanting to her family, in need concerning her family, and now she has given herself over to the business of that. Kyle and Dillich responded to that this way, saying basically, well, it's probably property that they already knew they had to develop, and so she just went about to develop it. Have you ever made a vegetable garden out back just because you knew that you could can up some things for winter? Whether it be cucumbers, or whether it be squash, or whether it be string beans, or some greens or something. I know when I was home as a young boy, Mom was always canning. It seems like when tomatoes came on, she canned tomatoes. When string beans came on, she put up string beans. When shell beans came on, she canned up shell beans. It's just on and on. When everything came in season, in the time, she just went about to do that. And the industry of it was, of course, worked out to the economy of the family. So in the wintertime, what did you do? You go down cellar, grab a can of a quart of string beans, open it up with some potatoes, and have something else with it, and pretty soon you had a supper and it didn't cost you a thing. You didn't have to go to the store for it because you had put all the effort into putting these things aside, and it became the economy of the home. And such is the woman who is a part of that virtuous lifestyle wherein the wife is blessed and the family is blessed. And so even in this, we find that her enterprises are not wasteful, but resourceful. And she does much good unto all her family. And it does not mean that every woman has to go out and enter into some kind of business transaction all the time in order to fulfill this requirement. There are many, many different areas that women enter into and carry some help of economy to the home. And you probably are fulfilling many of those or have fulfilled many of those over the years. And verse 16, she considereth that field, she buyeth it, her industry is good for the family. In verse 20, she helps others, and as she helps others, the things that she has laid aside become a means of charity to others. Have you ever said, well, I've got plenty of that, I can give that to somebody to help them out a little bit? You didn't necessarily have to go to the store to buy it, because you already had it. And you had enough of it for yourself, plus. Her economy is part of her industry. And her industry becomes part of her economy. In verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So she is charitable. She is concerned about the poor and the needy. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 14 through 17, it says this, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Verse 16, "But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." What do you think it means to do good and communicate? That means that the things that we do, even in helping and distributing to others, is a part of that praise which we can have toward God. That is a part of it too. This woman's charitable work was a part of her praise toward God, as much as it was to go to the temple or the tabernacle and to praise the Lord. She was fulfilling her praises unto God. God had blessed her, now she can bless others. And so it is that we should pass on many of the blessings God has given. Romans chapter 12, verses 11 through 13. "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Verse 13. "Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given the hospitality." How wonderful God just kind of adds these things together for us sometimes. You know, and when he adds them together, we begin to say, well, that's a part of it too. And see, that gives us a fuller picture of these things. Paul tells us of those things he had received of others. Philippians chapter 4, 18 to 20. "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Epaphroditus brought things to Paul. "An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So Paul had received things. Epaphroditus brought them to him. They were sent via Epaphroditus, but they were as a sweet-smelling odor unto the Lord, because others had given themselves to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. And that became a blessing unto Paul. And so she is praised and blessed of her family's family in verses 28 to 30 at the end of the chapter here. "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." And so here we find the excellencies of this woman is being extolled by her husband and by her children. And I think that's the reward, much of the reward that we receive after our children have grown. If they truly have appreciated and seen the hand of the Lord in the things that the mother has done, unto her, the husband as well as unto the children, they rise up and they say, well, mom used to do this. Mom, only mom can make this. Only mom did this. And I remember when mom was doing this. And I remember when mom helped me with this. And they will carry on and tell about all these things that mother did. And, I think it was someone who said, distance lends enchantment to the view. As we get further away from something, we begin to appreciate it and appreciate it in such a way that we say, oh, that was really something back then. At the time, the children was kind of like, oh, mom, why are you making me do this, Paula? Or why do you do that? Or why do I have to pick these string beans? Or why do I have to help you can? Or why do I, while the wife is doing all of the economy, which helps the home, many times the children complain against it. But later on, they look back and they say, well, that was pretty good what mom did back then. That was great. And they try to do the same thing for their own children. They try to do the very same thing. which is what they should do. And so in verse 28 to the end here, her children call her blessed. She is positive and optimistic and enjoys her role in life. Her husband praises her by telling others she is the greatest of the noble women. Well, probably you've said that about your children, haven't you? My children are the best. They're the greatest children. Well, we find that the husband often says that about the wife. She may not hear it every day, but when the time is right, the husband says it and blesses her because he knows she is truly a woman of great moral character and godly worth. And that is the woman we're talking about. Her children realize that she is an outstanding mother, and they tell her so. Her husband also praises her, as God has given her to him. And then lastly, the mention of the woman who fears the Lord in verse 30. Fear is deceitful, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Well, probably this is the most difficult area to talk about. You know, as we get older in life, our whole body changes, doesn't it? We go from being a young person to an old person. And, you know, we don't like to say it. You know, everybody likes to say, oh, I'm 80 years young. Nobody's 80 years old. They're always 80 years young. Or vice versa. You know, they try to put the best or optimistic view on age. But when you're talking about beauty and the aesthetic value of things, often that wanes in life because we age. And we recognize there is one thing being promoted here that never goes away, that never changes. And that is the beauty of one who is given over to a godly moral character that it really exonerates that person. And that kind of woman who lives that lifestyle is exonerated no matter if she has a wrinkle or not. No matter if the oil of Olay doesn't work anymore, or the Jergens hand cream or face cream or whatever it is they use for cosmetics, to make them more beautiful. Her value and her worth never diminishes. And she is a woman who fears the Lord, and she is to be praised. She is to be praised. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we do thank you for the virtue and excellence of a woman who loves you and seeks to live to your honor and to your praise, fulfilling those duties and areas of a blessing in the home and of the economy and industry of the home. That is all to the glory of God and to the benefit of her family. We thank you, Father, for these women, and we ask your blessing, Father, that husbands would truly appreciate their wives in all these things that they do, and for the glory of God and for the blessing of the children and family. In Jesus' name, amen.